Welcome to Karen Orr's official podcast. We're a Messianic synagogue in Savannah, Georgia. You can find us on the web at www.shalomsavannah.com.
On the screens, you'll see, we're going to have our message today. It's going to continue our sermon series on the vision and mission of Karen Orr. So if you've seen it or if you've been online to check it out, we have three icons. They're probably right up there now. Three icons that we tried to break down. What is the congregation all about? And it's those three icons. It's called love, grow, and shine. Those are the three things we want to do as a congregation. If we get those things right as a congregation, we're fulfilling our calling. We're fulfilling our vision and our mission here in Greater Savannah, Georgia. So we're going to be looking at the concept and the icon, the topic of growing today. We talked the last 2 weeks about love, what that means, loving God. How do we love God? How do we get to know God in order to love God? And that God loves us so much. And we talked about loving other people. So loving God, loving other people. That was the big message there. Today we're going to talk about how do we grow in the Lord. And there's so much here, but what I want to do is put up first the statement that we put for grow on our website. And it's very, very important. And as everything we do, we try to attach scripture to it. We try to follow scripture and correlate it to our scriptures. We seek to grow as followers of Yeshua, our teacher and Messiah. We come together as a community to grow in our faith and grow in our relationships. And the scripture references we have picked and put out there are Acts 2:42 and Ephesians 4:16. So when you think about growing in the Lord, growing as a person, growing as a believer, growing in general, immediately my mind thinks, and maybe your mind thinks back to gardening and growing plants and growing flowers, right? Now I have like the most black thumb in the world. So if you give me a plant, I will kill the plant. It may take a week, it may take 2 weeks, but the plant will die. So, but other people have a very green thumb, and they plant gardens and wonderful vegetables and beautiful flowers. We've always been amazed since we moved up to Georgia around when you look at houses and you look at the front of the house, there's so many plants and flowers, and it's just so beautiful. In Florida, we didn't have so many of those things. So I just love looking at all the plants and the flowers. But when we're talking about growing, and we're talking and looking at that as an example of growth, there's two things I think about. And you know, again, I've got a black thumb, and I don't know much about horticulture and much about gardening and all that stuff. But I know that plants need two things to grow. Plants need two things to grow. They need sunlight, and they need water. That's pretty basic. So if we take that spiritually for ourselves and talk about growth today, we need sunlight and we need water to grow. Sunlight represents God and his light. You know, Yeshua, our Messiah, is called the light of the world. And when we have that light inside of us, we are to shine out to this community. Karen Orr, the name of our congregation, is translated, when you translate it from the Hebrew to the English, as ray of light. And so we are to shine that love that we talked about the last 2 weeks that's filled up in us, that we've got it, and it's going to overflow. The concept is the love is so strong inside of us, the love of Yeshua, the love of God, the love for other people, that it shines out. We can't just keep it, as Yeshua says in Matthew 5, we can't just keep it under a basket or something. It has to be brought out to the light. So when we talk about growth, we have to have that light in us. Just like plants need that sunlight to grow, we need the light of God and the big light, the major light in our lives, the light Yeshua, the light of the world. Because with Yeshua inside of us, we can then shine as lights in this world, as Karen Orr, rays of light. But the other thing you need for growth is water. Water is extremely important. And you know, if you look in the Middle East and it's dry and there's desert and nothing is growing. You know, you ever see those cartoons when you were a kid where it's like the mirage where it's there's water and there's a palm tree and there's, you know, iced tea right there. And you go and you go and you go closer and there's nothing, you know. Well, you need to have water to grow. You need sunlight. There's plenty of sunlight in the desert, but there's no water. So the water represents the daily immersion in the Word of God. We've got to continually drink that water. Because if we're not drinking the water, if we don't drink water as humans, we'll die. You can't go too long without drinking water. You can go longer without food than without water. If you don't have water for a time, you are going to die. Same way spiritually. We need the daily immersion in God's word, watering with God's word, and watering as far as we need to water into each other's lives too. You know, speaking about God and man, we all also have to water into each other's lives because that's how growth happens as well. So those are the two basic elements, and I want you to think about those two things as we go along this morning and we talk about growth. Now, there can be, you know, there's books out there on growth and how do you grow in the Lord and how do you, there's even books out there in the secular world about how to grow, right? How to be a better person. There's millions of books about that. But there is good growth and there is bad growth. And we need to have good growth because you can get sunlight and water of all the wrong things and you could be growing in all the wrong ways. And we see that. We see that in cultures where the water that is fed to people, the sunlight that is given to people is hatred. And we could see the result of that. We have religions where it's all about hatred, about killing other people. I don't even have to name them. You could come up with the names. But we want to have healthy growth. Healthy growth is growth rooted in God's word and growth rooted in the Lord's will. And that's the kind of growth we need to have. So it's you can certainly grow in the wrong way. And many people do. But we want to have that healthy growth. So the number one way we can grow is we grow obviously in the Lord. We need to be reading the word of God. We need to be understanding God. We need to be spending time with God. You know, when I first became a believer, I would read, this was just my thing, I would read a chapter of Proverbs a day. And so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and I love the book of Proverbs. It's my favorite book in the whole Bible. I would, starting with the first day of the month, I would read chapter 1. This was just my thing. And you would go to the end, and sometimes there'd be 28 days in the month, and you get a little shorted, so you have to read a little bit more that day. Sometimes there'd be 31 days in the month, so you could read all the way to chapter 31. But the point is daily immersion in the word, daily growth, daily watering of the word of God. I use Proverbs. There's many one-year Bibles you can do. There's devotionals you can do. I love Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. That is the most impactful in my life devotional that I've read and I continue to read. But I just encourage you to have some type of Bible plan or be in the word because that's the way you water. That's the way you get in the word of God. You get in the concepts of God. But we have to apply it. We can't just, you know, read it and then we're done with it. We have to apply it to our life. Let's look at a scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. This is from the ESV translation. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture, whole Bible, is breathed out by God and profitable. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, many people in the Lord say, you know, the Bible's great, but it doesn't apply to my life. Or I've got that King James version of the Bible, and I don't understand it, and it just sits there on my shelf collecting dust. And you know what? The things I'm going through in my life, the Bible doesn't talk about that. But what the scripture says here is all scripture is breathed out for many things, for teaching, to teach us, for reproof, to correct us when we need some correction in our life, show us the right way and the wrong way, correction, and for training, to train us, that we, men and women of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work, not most good works, but every good work. We are equipped for every good work by the watering of the word. You know, as I said before, you can read the word and you can read the word and you can read the word and you cannot change and you cannot grow. And why is that? Well, you've got to take the word and you've got to apply it to your life. And this may sound a little heretical, but listen to it. Knowledge alone puffs us up. Reading the Bible over and over and over without applying it to our life just puffs us up. But applying it to our life makes us holy. So knowledge alone. You can't just say, listen, don't tell me about this. I need to be holy or I need to grow. I read my Bible every day. I read a chapter of Proverbs every day, or I read my one-year Bible every day, or I read this, or I've read the Bible 20 times cover to cover. And I say, wow, that's great. You know, you can read the Bible 100 times cover to cover, but never absorb what the Bible is saying and apply it to your life. The key is having knowledge and using that knowledge and applying it to your life so that you grow in the Lord. When we apply the knowledge, we grow. So knowledge itself is not bad, but what do you do with that knowledge is important. Number two, we grow through experiences in our life. Experiences. You learn things really well when you experience something. I've always found that, you know, when somebody tells me something, that's great, but I'll probably forget it. Or, okay, that's good for you. But if I personally experience it, it means something more to me. You learn things really well when you experience it. It hits home for you. When you go through something personally, you experience it and it hits home for you. Now, I had a situation recently in my day job, my other job, and you know, I had to go for some training, and this is the kind of thing at my job where you have to go to the training every year. It's required. You have to like check the box, make sure they take your name down, and you've been at the training, and you're good to go for the year. So I went in there thinking that I'm just going to go in. I'm going to do my required thing. I've heard all this stuff before. I don't need this. But I kind of stopped myself, and these were long training sessions. This wasn't like a 1 hour here. But I stopped myself, and the topic was actually pretty good. And I actually stopped, and I listened, and I interacted. And it was, and I probably wouldn't have done that unless the moderator didn't force us to do that. But he was like, at first I was like, oh, he's really going to make us get up and draw things on the you know, whiteboard and get into groups. And I was like, here we go again. I just want to put my time in. But, you know, we did it. I got out of my comfort zone a little bit. I did it. And I learned so much in those training sessions. Why? Because I got up and I experienced it. I went through it. I didn't just listen to what they said and just brain dump it later. I tangibly went through it. I experienced it. And I experienced growth. We grow through good experiences, but we really truly grow from bad experiences and trials and tribulations in our life. I've found that when I have a great experience, it's a great experience, but then I'm often doing something else. Okay, there's the mountaintop experiences, which are wonderful, but things don't grow up on mountaintops. Have you ever noticed that? There's nothing that really grows on the mountaintop. The mountaintop is up there to give us some rest, to give us a charge, you know, to encourage us. But it's short because we have to go right back down into the valley. The valley is where the growth really, really happens. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's life. I mean, that's how it is. We really grow through trials and tribulations. Why do we grow through bad experiences and not good experiences more? Why do we grow? I think it's because we're pushed out of that thing called our comfort zone. When I'm having a good experience, I am totally in my comfort zone. I'm happy, everything's great, but I'm not pushed. When I have a trial or tribulation in my life, and I'm just like you, I have trials and tribulations. If you can't admit that you have a trial and tribulation that's going on right now in your life, you are lying to yourself, because there's things going on, whether it's small or big in your life, that is a trial, that is a test of your faith, that is an experience that you're going through that's going to grow you. But when I'm pushed out of my comfort zone and I'm out of my element, I'm forced to really like hone in and grasp whatever is going on. And that's where the growth is happening. Let's read from James. Book of Yaakov. James is the translation with the King James Bible, but his real name was Yaakov, Jacob. James 1, verses, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. When I read scriptures like this, I say to myself, how can I find joy in trial? That's painful. You know, remember the story of Rack, Shack, and Benny. You know, if you're a VeggieTales fan, you know what I mean. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't even remember their names in Hebrew, and nobody can. These are their Babylonian names. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the friends of Daniel. Remember how they went through the fiery furnace, and they weren't burned, and there was a fourth person in there, which was Yeshua, which was the Lord. They went through the furnace, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. We have furnaces we go through in our lives. They could be kind of a little bit hot furnaces. Sometimes they're blazing hot furnaces. But what do furnaces do? You know, when you put some raw elements in, the raw elements of gold, and you put it in a furnace, it burns off all the impurities. That's what it does. So that when the gold comes out, it is so refined, it's so much better than it was when it went into the furnace, right? When you go into those fires and those trials and those tribulations in your life, it's burning off the impurities. It's burning off all the excuses. It's burning off all of the things that you're holding on to that are not good growth for you. And it is burning them away, and it's refining you. So when you come out of that furnace, when you come out of that fire, that trial, that tribulation, you are that much more spiritually mature. You're growing that much more. You're more in tune maybe to what God has and what the Bible is telling you. You're refined. The impurities have been burned off. And that's pretty awesome. And the other analogy I could give you is when you go to the gym, and I think, you know, I don't like going to the gym, but when you go to the gym, it's painful, right? You have to take the weights or you have to take the equipment and you have got to exercise. And when you exercise, what are you doing? You're building muscle. But it doesn't feel good to build muscle. It hurts. It's painful. But through that pain, you have stronger muscles. You are more in shape. You're healthier. And that's the whole point. If you never exerted that pain, went through that pain to build that muscle, you would have not been that much more healthy. You would have not grown, physically grown with your body, but also emotionally and spiritually, we're talking about today. We are going and we are working the muscles when we are spending time in the Word of God, when we're spending time helping other people out there in the community, when we're helping other people in the congregation, when we're building up our congregation for the Lord, where it's painful sometimes, but we're expending a lot of energy, but we're building muscle mass and we're growing. Number three, we grow in our relationships. Experiences are great, but a lot of times you go through the furnace alone. Many times you go through the furnace alone, but you know, when you're with people, that's really where the furnace is, when you have to deal with relationships and people. You know, the saying is, no man is an island unto himself, and we really truly do grow by interacting with other people. When you interact with other people, you get maybe a better perspective. You know, if I was just an island unto myself and I didn't have the interaction with people, I would not grow because I wouldn't understand other points of view. I would just understand what my point of view is. If I only understood my point of view, I wouldn't grow because I wouldn't understand what else is out there. But when you come into interaction with other types of people and in relationships with other people that are a little different than you, maybe the way they grew up, or it's going to force you to grow because you're going to understand their point of view, their perspective. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever way you want to say it, a lot of times God will bring people into your life, relationships into your life that are not fun and that are not the best relationships maybe. But those, just like growing through trials, that's where really the growth happens. You ever had a situation where, you know, you're just praying, okay, God, use me. I'm ready. We sang about it today. Here am I, Lord. Just use me. And then you get the person that God puts in front of you, and it is like the most difficult person you've ever had to deal with in your life. You know, it's like, God, why couldn't you give me somebody easier? You know, but we grow a lot through dealing with difficult people. And it's always the people that push our buttons, always the people that we just, I can deal with anybody else, Lord, but that person, because that person is going to make me really get crazy. Maybe they're colleagues at your work. Maybe they're your boss at your work. That's a bad situation. Maybe it's in your own family. You know, I always say that the most growth I had, and this is honest truth here, bearing my soul, is when I got married. Because when you get married, you have to deal with somebody in a relationship, like not only when you want to. You know, when I go to a job, it's 8 to 5, I got to deal with my boss. At 5:01, I could be in the car. Oh, my boss this and my boss that. When you live with somebody 24/7, you've got to deal with that relationship 24/7. And that's really where, like, it's like a mirror. I mean, it's like, if you, you know, I thought before I got married, I knew a lot about myself and I was a pretty good guy and all that. It's like all of my imperfections somehow came out. I'm like, what do you mean I'm like that? I'm not like that. So, and I think everybody that's married can hear what I'm saying and say amen. Maybe you say it silently under your breath, but you could say amen. So when you get married, you deal with those experiences and you deal with those relationships and you're forced to grow through that situation, through that relationship. And it's very interesting because when we're younger, our parents teach us the basics, don't they? We start off in life and everything is like a wonderful story. You know, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is beautiful. We learn how to talk to people, you know, say please, say thank you. We learn that if we behave, we're going to do well in this life. As long as we treat other people right in our household, as long as we respect our parents, as long as we love the Lord and we pray and do all those things, everything's going to go great for us in life. It's so simple. You know, make sure you talk to this person nice. Make sure you say hello to, you know, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. You do those things and pat it on the back and you're praised and everything's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then we grow up and we go into the world and we do all those things and we don't get back the pats on the head. And we don't get back the great job, thanks a lot for thinking of me. Maybe we get a gruff remark. Maybe we get somebody that doesn't want to hear it. Maybe we get somebody that's mean to us or cruel to us, even after our best attempts to be loving and godly to them. That's a difficult situation. But, you know, we don't think about that growing up. And I like the example of, you know, when I read to my little kids at night, we pull out the children's Bible. You guys know the children's Bible with all the wonderful cartoony stuff of Moses and Abraham. I love the children's Bible. I get such a kick out of it. Everything is so warm and fuzzy, you know, in the children's Bible. And it really, and I don't mean to demean the children's Bible because it is awesome, but it really sugarcoats things sometimes. I was reading a story with my son and daughter the other day, and it was the story of Jacob. You know, Jacob, he was a very interesting character in the Bible. And I love the Bible because the Bible doesn't paint people in this wonderful picture that they were always so great and so perfect. And if I can only be that perfect like that. No, the Bible shows the warts of everybody. Everybody has at least one wart, maybe multiple warts. I mean, we could go on and on about David's warts. David, King David in the Bible. It's amazing. He had so many problems and warts, but yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was picked in front of all seven of his older brothers. Why? Because he had a heart for the Lord. That gives me hope. There's hope for me. I can mess up like I do in life, but God still values me and God still loves me. We talked about that last week, though. But anyway, the story of Jacob. This is how the children's Bible shows Jacob. Jacob got married and had kids. And there's one picture of Jacob and all his children looking all smiley and happy. I'm like, wow, that's a great story. But Jacob didn't just get married and have kids and everybody smiled. Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. The first one he didn't really love. He thought he was marrying the second, got the first. All these kind of interpersonal family problems ensued. Oh, and by the way, there was two other women that he had kids with that really weren't his wife. So we're talking about four women, a lot of Suris. And if you don't know what Suris means, it's Yiddish for a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. So he had a lot of Suris in his life. He had a lot of complaining and whining, both from him and his wives. And we haven't even gotten to the kids yet. Remember those kids that tried to kill one of the younger ones by throwing him into this? But one of them convinced the others, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a deep pit and leave him for dead. And we'll take his robe that his dad likes so much. We'll kill an animal, put blood on it, and pretend like he died. That's a great story, right? But the children's Bible didn't tell me anything about that. So you see what I'm saying? When we're young, when we're kids, we can't handle that kind of reality. You know what I'm saying? But when we get older, we learn the nuances and how really these people were just like us in the scriptures, sometimes even worse with the things that they did. We can only handle the milk of the word when we're young. We don't really grow with the milk. It's a first step, but we don't grow. The basics of our faith, the black and the white of our faith, that's the milk. But when you get older, one of the first things you realize, if you've been in the church or the body of Messiah, is that people, we operate in gray. There's not black and white a lot of times. Now, don't get me wrong. There are black and white dogmatic statements of our faith. These are the things we believe. Okay, that is our creed. That is what we believe. It's scripturally based. And I'm not suggesting that anything else besides that. But there's a lot of nuances within our faith that are the gray areas. The gray areas are not shown in the children's Bible. The gray areas are when you know that stuff's going on in your life, even though you're trying to be the best believer you can, even though you're trying to be the best husband or wife or father or child that you can, and you're still falling short. Those are the gray areas. And in those gray areas, the growth really happens. It tests our faith. It shows us who God really is. You know, our walk is all about a walk of faith, not about a walk of works. It's about a walk of faith. And we have to, that faith muscle has got to be strengthened. And it's strengthened when we work it out. When we work it out, when we deal with the gray areas and the problems, when it's not so cut and dry. And I think the reason for that is we get to the end of ourselves. I can do the black and white every day of the week. I can quote scripture. I can tell you how I read the children's Bible 5 million times when I was a kid. But when you operate in the gray, you're really growing. It's the meat of the Lord, not the milk. You know, Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, talks about that in the scripture. He talks about he was telling one of the congregations, you're staying with the milk. This isn't good. Go to the meat of the word. You're ready for the meat. You need to get to the meat. The milk is great, but it's the beginning. You know, when you're a baby, you can only have the milk. But when you get older, you need more to sustain you. You need the word of God. You need the meat of the word. Okay. Number four, we grow in our fellowship. Now, this is a little different. You might think, well, our relationships are fellowship. Yes, they are. But a lot of times you can grow in relationships with family, other believers, even with non-believers, you can learn a lot. Those are relationships in our lives. But we're talking here about our congregational fellowship. We're talking about our spiritual home, our second family, if you were. So we grow a lot in our time of fellowship. This is important. Being part of a community and part of a congregation is extremely important in our lives. It's different than fellowship with your friends, as I talked about, but these are people that we're worshiping the Lord with every week. These are people that we're learning about their lives. We're going through struggles together. We're learning about their gray areas. They're learning about our gray areas. We're loving each other through it. We're growing through it. Kehilat is the word, you know, the fellowship, the community together in Hebrew. So there's a couple of elements of growing together in fellowship. Meeting together, obviously. Let's look at Acts 2:42. One of our main scriptures that we put up for the grow icon, the grow representation. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. There's a lot going on there, but they were fellowshipping together. They weren't just reading their Bibles at home. They were getting together and they were fellowshipping. Let's look at another scripture, Hebrews 10:24-25. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how to stir up one another into love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It is extremely important to get together and fellowship together as a communal body. Watching shows on the TV, you know, watching TBN and all those shows are great, but it doesn't take the place of being together and growing together in fellowship. When you're together and there's something about worshiping with other people too. When you're corporately worshiping the Lord, that is a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, again, don't get me wrong. You could be in your prayer closet. You could be in your home alone, praying, worshiping, and just having a wonderful time before the Lord. That's wonderful. And that is fellowship. But when you're with other like-minded people in Messiah, you're coming together for one purpose, which is to glorify, to worship God, and to grow in the Lord. There is something powerful about that. There is something extremely scriptural about that. We just read a couple of scriptures. So people neglect this sometimes because they think, well, I'm getting fed through the televangelist, or I'm getting fed through reading the books, or I'm getting fed through this way. But it's not the same. We need that tangible interaction to grow together. Number two, building each other up. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Ephesians 4, 16 is our other verse, but I wanted to back up to verse 15 because it gives you more of a context. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Messiah, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body of Messiah is just that. We are the body of Yeshua. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are, you know, the elbows. We are all the parts of the body. But if you have a body that only has one arm, or if you have a body that doesn't have a heart, or you have a body that doesn't have a foot, you can't do a whole lot. You can't be effective. You can't function properly. When the body comes together, we're all different pieces and different blocks, building blocks in that Lego block set of the body of God, of the body of Messiah. I may be the elbow. You may be the pinky. I don't know. But the point is, when we're functioning together in love, growing together, part of a congregation, there's something powerful. And when the body overall is growing together, the body of Messiah in the world, both Jewish and non-Jewish, together, there is a power there, and we can accomplish the works of the Lord. We can accomplish the things of God so effectively. But when the body is broken, it's very, very ineffective. When community is done right, when fellowship is done right, it is absolutely one of the most awesome experiences and the most awesome things. But when the body is not done right, and when things are not done right, it can be a disaster. I think you all know that. You can, when it's not done right, what's a good example of that? Well, when we come together, if people are all about themselves, you know, have you ever had gone to synagogue and people come and they greet you and you meet somebody, and for the next 20 minutes, all they talk about is themselves? Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever had it happen to you where you just come in and somebody doesn't want to talk to you at all? I mean, that's not proper functioning of the body of Messiah. Okay, but so when people are nosy, getting into other people's business, that's not proper functioning. There's a godly way to do things and an ungodly way to do things. And that's the wisdom and that's the discernment. And that's using the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, in our lives to grow together, to grow in fellowship. You got to ask yourself things like, you know, are my actions, are my words with this person building them up? You could say the same thing to somebody when they're a stranger and they don't receive it, but say the same thing to them when you've developed a relationship with them, when they know you care, when they know you can be trusted, they'll receive it. It's important to have that relationship and that fellowship together. When you have that connection with people, they can receive things that's going on in their lives that maybe they wouldn't if that wasn't happening. Am I doing this just to know the dirt about this person's life, or am I doing this inquiring about their life because I care about them, because I want to help them, because I want to pray for them? There's a difference. We can't go to God and say, I want this, I want that, and have a good relationship, right? Well, our relationship with God has got to be one of give and take, like any relationship. Any healthy relationship takes two people engaged together, growing. When it is one-sided, when the person only wants to talk about themselves or talk about their problems all the time or whatever, and there's not an interplay, it's not healthy growth. When we have a relationship with God and it's all about us coming and saying, God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I really need this. There's no real relationship there. We need to also listen to what God has to say in our lives. And there's about 1,000 messages we could give about that. But the point is, any healthy relationship goes both ways. Congregation is a place where we can grow and worship together and learn about God together. I would have never, ever grown as much as I have in the last 20, 25 years being a believer if I didn't have experiences with people at my synagogues, at my congregation, experiences with people who are so different from me in every single walk of life. But one thing, we had the experience of having Messiah as the head of our lives. When you have that, you can, I'm telling you what, the fellowship is so much sweeter than if you have your best friend there who's not a believer and they know everything about you, you like all the same things, but it's not as effective. It's not as spiritually enriching. You could have somebody that's totally different than you, polar opposite. I have a friend who just moved to a place that I would only move if God said to me very clearly, Jude, you are moving there. No questions. The place he moved is Alaska. I don't think I could handle living in Alaska unless it was a supernatural God telling me go to Alaska. I'm from Florida. I like warmer weather. I can handle coastal Georgia. It's not so much more north of Florida. But you get me into Canada or, you know, anywhere in the Northern Territories or certainly Alaska, it's not going to work for me. But, you know, I have a friend that moved to Alaska, heard the call of God in his life, and just moved a couple of weeks ago with his family. And God bless him. He's a dear brother in the Lord. But he and I are so much more, we could not be more different from each other. And that doesn't have any bearing when we talk to each other because it is full of the love of the Lord when we sit together and we fellowship and we talk because we're sharing the Lord. We're sharing our experiences with each other. And we can bless each other. And the fellowship is so sweet because we have the Lord in our lives. And he can talk to me about Alaska. I'll listen and I'll watch it on TV, all those shows. But I don't think I'm going to be going to Alaska unless God magically tells me to go. You know, you have those places, right? God, you can take me to Paris any day of the week, but I don't know. Don't take me to, Sri Lanka or someplace. That's just, don't say that because God may do it. So another way that we grow together is giving. And I'm going to touch on this very, very, very quickly because this could require a lot more. But we grow by giving to each other. Remember how I said it is there's no growth where you're just telling people your problems and you're just talking all about yourself. But when you're giving back and forth, that word is so powerful. When you're giving of your time, when you're giving of your financial resources, when you're giving of your talents, you know, if you can play an instrument, you know, to do that in front of other people for the Lord, that's significant because people are going to be blessed by your piano skills. That's going to bless other people. You've given your time. When you volunteer to do something in the congregation, to greet people or to put out, you know, the cards that we have, simple things, it blesses other people. When you give, again, going out of your comfort zone and giving. So as I close, I want you to think about this week. What is true growth? What does it mean? True growth, meaning healthy growth, okay? If we look at it, really, we seek to grow as followers of Yeshua. This is what we put up earlier. We seek to grow as followers of Yeshua, our teacher and Messiah. We need to be becoming more and more like Yeshua, our teacher, every day. He is our example. He is our rabbi. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And everything is found in, if we could learn to be like Yeshua more and more, as I said last week, I would know when to be gentle to people when they need gentleness. I would know when to not have any patience for people when it's totally not fruitful and they're totally wrong in the Lord and I have to rebuke them. Yeshua did those things so effortlessly, it seemed. And I want to be more and more like that every day. So we grow and we become more and more like Yeshua, our teacher. And we come together as a community to grow in our faith and grow in our relationships. The real growth happens when there's the pain involved sometimes. It could be a little bit of pain, it could be a lot of pain. When we go through the furnace, when we deal with those difficult people, when we have experiences that push us out of our comfort zone, because we grow, we learn how to adapt, and we learn to get to the end of ourselves and what? And rely on God. We can't do it. I can't do it, God. I've come to the end of myself. I'm going through this fire. You can do it. And then there's that faith and that trust and you become a little bit more like the Lord, and you grow a little closer to the Lord because you have given up on yourself and you've said yes to the Lord a little bit more. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you that I can open up your word anytime. I don't have to, you know, in days of old, we had to go into the synagogues on Shabbat. We had to unroll the scrolls, and then we could read and we could know. And that was wonderful, Lord. But today we can go, and I have 5 Bibles at home, and I can just pick one up and I can be watered with the word of God. We know, Lord God, that we need that sunlight, that light of you, the light of the world in our lives. Lord, we know we need that water, that daily watering of the word and watering of relationships and experiences and fellowship together, Lord. We know those are the elements of growth. I pray right now for everyone in the congregation that you would help them to integrate themselves more to be part of what you're doing here. If they feel called here, Lord God, to grow in relationships in a healthy way, Lord God. And by doing that, we will grow in our walk with you. I pray for our congregation. May we truly be a ray of light to this community so that people that would have never, ever come to this congregation may be touched supernaturally by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, maybe through a caring or giving word from one of us or a supernatural way, Lord God. We lift up our congregation to you and all the congregants, Lord God. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for this opportunity to learn about you and to grow in you today, Lord. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.